We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hey, welcome back to Crimes and Closets. This is Christy in my closet in St. Louis.
And this is Beth in my closet in North Carolina.
Happy Monday, Beth.
Happy Monday from the sunny Carolina.
So lovely
here. It's beautiful. We're here. We have arrived. We have blue skies all the time. This is why I moved here. It's awesome.
Oh, good. We've been pretty good. We've been like cooler, which is fine. I don't mind cool as long as it's sunny, like 60s, mid-60s. You know, upper 60s is fine with me. But today they were like, strong storms coming in the morning. But nothing. We don't have that. I mean, not nothing, but like, it's just gray and it drizzled, but it's not happening. So.
Yes, I'm happy. I just need my pool to open. I know yours is opened. I did see him the other day when I went on a walk. They have the like pool furniture out and I was like, whoop, whoop.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah.
It's ready time. To pack it up and go swim. That's right. Just a few weeks.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. What's going on with you?
Well, when this drops, we will have had prom.
That's
senior
so
prom.
Fun. Senior prom.
Yeah.
It's a really big deal.
Well, okay. So, yeah. Totally remember it being a big deal. And I think it's a big deal here, too. I mean, he bought his ticket and handled all the things. He went and got fitted for his tux and he went and picked it up the other day and all that. But like, you know, I just remember because of course we're girls. So it's totally different. I have a boy who doesn't pay attention to anything. Like I had to push him to go get fitted and like make sure he picked it up and everything like that. Cause he's just like, oh, people will do everything for me. But I also was like, well, are you going to take pictures somewhere? Do you want to have everyone come here? Because I know that her parents will want to take pictures and maybe somebody else's parents. Like, are you all going together? How are you getting there? Like,
who rented the limo?
Well, and I even said, I don't even know if a limo is a thing anymore. Like, right. I don't. I have no clue because I haven't seen any, but I'm also in the back of the neighborhood. So other kids that have done it before, like they could have had it and I just missed it because you don't come back here. And you drive through. So anyway, all the things. And he's just like, oh, okay. You know, and I'm like, well, just let me know. Can you give me a heads up? Like if someone's going to come over here before, so I'll have a couple snacks, whatever. You know, nothing. I literally still have like really no clue, but I have snacks ready just in case. Her parents are coming. She did text me. Her mom texted me and was like, hey, can you let me know? Because it's also their anniversary. So she was like, we're making plans and I want to go and take the pictures, but I don't. So I want to make sure that we plan for whatever. So I was like, come here at 6. They're probably going to leave at 6:30. You're free after that. So did all that, but I still have no idea. I know my son and his date and one other kid and his date are coming. Maybe there's another one, possibly. Well, I don't know.
You know what's going to happen? So we're recording this on a Friday, by the way, and it's tomorrow. You're going to text me tomorrow and be like, there are 12 people in my house right now. And you're going to be ordering the Chick-fil-A and the pizza. Because you're not going to have any food.
No.
For all the people that are going to come, you know it's going to happen.
Right. So I just need to prepare. I probably should just have some like frozen pizzas in the fridge or whatever, which I normally do, but we ate them all last weekend. But anyway, and then I was like, and how about a limo? Like, you guys, like, what about it? And so and he never really answered me. So I just started pricing them like Monday. We're talking week of. Well, number one, a majority of them are completely booked out. So it's got to be a thing. And so the ones I was getting prices for, which they were giving me typical prices, but they gave me like prices for like a 14 passenger stretch limo. I'm like, there's four of them. That's right as of right now.
You just need a little town car.
I'm like, are you kidding me? And it's like almost $1,000, like $800, $900.
Well, because for 14 people, everybody kicks in and then it makes sense.
Yeah. So I was just like, no, thank you. Like, sorry, kid. I love you, but not $800. No.
Get him a Sprinter van, Christy.
Well, so here's what I ended up getting. We have this guy that we got from another friend of ours that we have used to drive us to the airport. You know, on our New Zealand trip, we were like, we don't want to park there for that many days and whatever. So I contacted him. I was like, hey, you know, he's got like a big Yukon Denali. Like, I was like, it'll be something that at least they don't have to drive. They could get dropped off, picked up. It'll look nice. And so I called him and he's already booked up, but he's like, let me see what I can do. And he found some guy who also does what he does, and he's coming now. So I was like,
that's nice.
Okay. And he gave me a pretty good price, which I was excited about. But he was like, but that's like, I'm dropping them off and going back and picking them up at 10. So like, they're staying the whole time. I'm like, well, that's fine. Let them stay the whole time. I think they should. Well, I think they should. They're going to have fun. If they leave at like 9, then they're going to miss like some big thing where like everyone got up and danced. Like, I'm like, no, it's your senior prom day. So anyway.
Right now.
Yeah. So that's all like literally like 3 days before prom, I'm figuring all this out. Like, thank you. Thanks.
You know what I think just when you're talking about this, because I'm the only one of us with a daughter. So when she has her prom, you got to come.
Oh, and like, yeah.
Do all the things.
Heck
like,
yeah.
We'll go get our nails done and go get our hair done. And like, we can lean in hard.
Yes. Let's like, fingers crossed it's not the same weekend as like mine because they're the same age.
Oh, true. I know.
He can come. He can be her date.
Oh, my God.
Now, see, that would kill us.
That would be too good.
You know, it would be really funny as if when the time came, we just looked at both of them. We were like, we're so excited that she's your date and or he's her date. Like, we planned this. We planned this like 10 years ago. So sorry.
2024.
If you're dating someone, it's too bad because we've already betrothed you for prom.
And we already booked the limo. So bye.
And your plane tickets to go to each other's houses.
Love it. You never know.
Oh my gosh.
I like it. Well, this is lots of fun.
Yes. Yeah.
I have a feeling today is going to take a turn.
Yeah, probably. I got a case for you if you want to hear it.
I do.
All right. Well, let's get going.
Okay. So for our case today, we are going to stay here in Missouri.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll hang out there. Wait, what's going to happen?
I know. Well, I don't know. I was actually really excited about it being in Missouri just because, I mean, I don't know. I know that I've done other Missouri cases before, but for some reason I was just like, oh, Missouri. And it's in Holden, Missouri, which is like, it's kind of near Kansas City, but it's like, so it's like 3 hours west of me.
Okay.
So anyway.
So it's on the border.
Sort of. It's not, I mean, sort of. Sort of. It's kind of a little bit east of Kansas City. Because, still got like 30 minutes to get to Kansas City.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway. All right. So, William Edward Pruitt and Patricia Slaughter both grew up in Western Missouri. Like
we did another case on somebody whose last name was Slaughter.
Really?
Yep. I remember it because I remember thinking, like, I hope that that's not a victim because that's unfortunate.
Oh.
But I don't remember what case it was. I think it was mine. Anyway.
Gosh, I hope it wasn't the same one.
I don't know. Oh my gosh.
Sometimes I'm like, I don't remember that.
I don't know now that you say that.
I don't think so because, yeah, I think
mine was in a serial killer.
Right. Oh, okay.
The one that I'm thinking of, yeah.
Okay. All right. So the two of them met in seventh grade but would not go on their first date until their senior year of high school.
Cute.
And they both went to Lee's Summit High School. They would go on to the University of Central Missouri, and they got married in 1968, around the age of 19. And from what I can tell, I believe Bill graduated, but Patty left school so that she could start, you know, fostering a family.
Okay, yep.
Bill would become a teacher for a short time, but it is stated that he did not like that, and so he gave up on it. And he decided to go back and work at a lumber yard that he had worked out for like several years during high school. So it was like his high school job forever.
Okay.
They would build a house near Patty's family in Lone Jack, Missouri. That's just south of Kansas City. And by 1974, they would have five children. Jane, William, Sarah, Carrie, and Morgan. From what I could pull together. Because they're not like all named everywhere. So I'm fairly certain those are their names. Okay. They owned their house outright. And they were doing like pretty okay for themselves. Because it says they built it. So I don't know if they like literally actually physically built it themselves. I feel
like they might have if he worked at a lumber yard. He seems like he might be the handy type.
Right. And for you to own your house outright pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, my brother did that. It took him like 15 years, but he did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, built it himself. Him and my dad.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
It's a log cabin. It's the coolest story ever, actually. I'll tell you one day.
Okay. Yeah. Please. Maybe on the intro to this case in 3 months.
Maybe. Write it down.
Okay. So by 1976, Bill was like looking for ads for a horse for Patty because Patty really liked horses. And while he was searching for an ad for horses, he saw an ad for a lumber yard in Holden, Missouri that was for sale for $64,000.
Okay. Oh, for sale. Okay.
Yeah. And Bill was like, I've been looking to like get out from underneath working for someone and want to kind of work for myself. So let's go check this out instead of getting a horse. Instead of getting a horse. Yeah.
Let's that's what he was looking for. Lumberyard instead of a horse.
Exactly.
Options.
So they go and look at it and pretty quickly decide that they're going to buy it. They're going to spend that $64,000 and buy it. They call it Pruitt Lumber and Hardware. And from what I understand, it's like it's fairly run down and like old and whatever, but they're just like making it work and they're doing what they need to do. So a year later, they moved into a house that was on 40 acres just north of Holden, so close to where the lumber yard was. They struggled to keep their business afloat and provide for their family, but they always did. But it just was, it was a hard thing. They provided their kids what they needed. There just wasn't a lot for extras.
Yeah, they having your own business is really hard.
Yeah, yeah, it is. There was like an article written up about them, because when I was doing the research and I was looking for background information, because there wasn't a whole lot on them, there was actually an article written about them about how they built this lumber yard and they're trying to stay afloat and whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's where I got a lot of their background stuff from.
That's cute. Imagine if we had to support our families on our little business.
Oh, I don't know. We wouldn't be able to.
No. All we do is go to Crime Con.
I know. That's all we're like, sorry, you can't have food, but we're going to Crime Con.
Yeah.
So, okay. It stated in, I think, that article that they were bringing in about $10,000 between them. And I'm assuming that meant per year based on the, timing of it. But I don't really know if that was like per month. I doubt it was per month because that would have been a lot of money per month.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So that. I think it must have been like that's what they were like taking home themselves between them after paying like a couple of workers that they had and like trying to keep like lumber yard stocked and stuff.
Wow.
So one day their motor and their car goes and they're like, we cannot afford to buy a new motor. So they start looking down their list of customers because they're also in the time where it was like, oh, just put it on my tab kind of thing. Like I'll pay you when I can. So they go down the list of customers who owe them money and they come across one who has a motor. And so they're like, okay, we'll trade you that motor to like wipe your debt clean. So
genius.
Yeah. And so then they just start bartering a lot for their lumber. One customer pays in meat for their family. Another one did slip covers for their living room. So they were just making it work for the best they could.
They sound like really nice people too. Also,
I know.
Sidebar. Yeah.
No, they really do. So they needed to try and figure out how to get a loan because what they wanted to do was consolidate all of their debts for like the house that they just bought and the lumberyard. And they needed to kind of get a little extra money to build up their inventory because they were having a hard time keeping up with like bigger places because they couldn't keep the inventory in there because it was so expensive.
Right. Right.
So they're trying to figure out how to do this too. So anyway, along with trying to keep their business afloat, they were taking care of all of their children and the littlest ones would literally be in the lumber yard, like sleeping, you know, next to them as they're ringing people up. They're also attending PTA meetings, going to school concerts, coaching softball teams, you know, the usual parenting craze while trying to keep all of this going. So they're just trying to make their dreams come true and working hard to get them hard. Really, really freaking hard as far as I'm concerned. In 1983, Patty was even elected president of the Holden Chamber of Commerce. So,
wow.
Yeah. They're active members in their community, and everyone loved Bill and Patty and would say that they seemed to have a great marriage. No one ever saw any issues. On February 18th, 1984, the couple went to dinner with their friends of theirs, like another couple. They went out to a bar after dinner and had a few drinks and returned home around 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Bill went upstairs to check on the children, and Patty went in to clean up the kitchen. It's like, sorry, sidebar. Worst thing ever when I come home from like going out and I have to clean up after my children. So.
I agree. Because nobody wants to come down in the morning to a dirty kitchen. So it's like, well, I'm doing it now.
Exactly. Ugh. Exactly.
I feel that.
Mm-hmm. So by the time Patty had gone up to the bedroom, Bill was already in bed and asleep. And there was a pretty big storm like that night, like loud lightning, thunder. This is like brought up in many different articles. So it must have been quite the storm for it to be brought up.
Mm-hmm.
So not long after Patty went to bed, she heard this loud bang, which to her, because there was a storm, sounded like thunder.
Mm-hmm. And she's asleep.
So she doesn't, she just remembers like hearing it and doesn't open her eyes or get up because she's just like, whoa, that was like loud, you know, whatever. I'm staying asleep. She remembers it. Okay. So wait, sorry. Not long after that, she then remembers being dragged from her bed by her hair.
Yikes.
It's really dark, so she can't get a look at who is doing this to her. And whoever it is holding a knife to her throat, which cuts her a few times, and they proceed to rape her.
Oh, no.
Patty said that she was crying and whining so much that she felt like that's why her attacker actually left, because they were annoyed by her. Which, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that would happen, but it seems pretty plausible. So anyway, she got up and goes into the bed where Bill was and realizes that he's injured in some way, because she can kind of see some blood, like she sees blood dripping. So she goes to turn on the lights to see how bad it is, and she tries to call the police, but the phone lines are down and her lights won't go on.
Okay, because of the storm or no?
Well, that's, I think, what she was assuming
right
at the time. So she then went into the children's bedroom and coaxed four of her children out of bed, because her oldest was at a sleepover at a friend's house.
Okay.
She told the kids that there was a small fire in the house and they needed to get out right away. Now, she said this, I see your face, because she said that not long before that, like in like the week or whatever days preceding this, they had just been going over fire drills with their children on like, what do we do? How do we get out? It's really serious. Like, you just need to listen when I tell you this. And so she just thought, without wanting them to ask a million questions of why I'm waking you up in the middle of the night, we need to leave. Yeah. She was like, there's a fire. We need to get out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's actually really quick thinking.
Right. No kidding. And, you know, thinking that this person could still be in the house. Like, yeah, he left me alone, but where did he go? Did he go in our basement? Whatever.
And of course, she doesn't want him to run into like their bedroom and see dad.
Right.
With like blood everywhere and all that. That's traumatic.
Yeah. Yes. And a couple of them were like, where's dad? Is dad out? Like, what's going on? And she was like, don't worry. We just need to get out. We just need to get out. Everything's fine. So she gets them out to the car and she runs back in to check on Bill and then leaves again to drive to a neighbor. And she drives, apparently, because it was commented about how she didn't go to the first neighbor because they live on this 40 acres. So it's like a little bit of a drive to get somewhere.
For sure.
She didn't go to the first neighbors because she said she didn't know them as well. And so she kept going to the next one, also because that guy happened to be an ex-police officer and she knew that. So she just thought it was the best person for her to go to. So she arrives at their house just before 4 a.m. And I believe it's because like he remembers like answering the door and he was like, it's 3:50 in the morning. Like, what are you doing here?
Right.
So after that neighbor calls police, he heads over to the Pruitt house. He arrives just around the same time as the police, and they go into the home and they find Bill is dead in his bed with a gunshot wound to the head.
Oh, that was the bang.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
It was very dark still in the house. And so, like, because none of the lights were on, just as Patty had said. And so the neighbor goes over to the circuit breaker and switches it back on. And at this point, it's like 4:20 a.m.
Okay. So somebody had turned off their power.
Right. That's what it seems like. So they also notice, but also I guess if it could be tripped, although I feel like he just like turned on like the main thing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because it could be tripped because of the storm.
Sure. Yeah. Too. Right.
But true. I want to say like he like turned the whole thing on. I don't, but I could be wrong. Regardless, it's 4:20 in the morning. They notice that a clock that had been plugged in was now saying 3:19. So they're assuming like that's when the power, however yep. it went out. So police somewhat process the scene. I'm saying somewhat because there were mistakes made.
Oh, no.
They found a shell casing near a chair, but they only found that after like a police officer like slumped down in it, like to sit down and like take a break, I guess. I don't know. And it fell to the floor. So it was like in that chair, I guess. And mm-hmm. somebody sat, lodged it or got it out. So they dusted for prints on some doorknobs. But I will mention right here that they'd never dusted for prints on that circuit breaker. And oh. yeah, it's like, hello, if somebody did like flip it, that's how you would mm-hmm. prove, because you would get somebody else's prints other than Bill's or Patty's or maybe even mm-hmm. the kids, which I doubt any of the kids even touched it, because I think the oldest one was like 16, like in high school at the time.
Right.
So anyway, and it's also mentioned that they're like dusting for prints on all of these round surfaces like doorknobs, but this was like flat and they probably would have mm-hmm. gotten a much better print off of it. So mm-hmm. so they also find a severed phone cord. So that meant her phone was actually cut.
Which means they definitely turned off the power too. Because yeah. like you're not going to just cut the phone cord. Sorry.
Right.
That's yeah. the truth.
And then leave the lights on for people to see who you are.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So they brought Patty in for questioning and they took like her pajamas that she was wearing as evidence. And she told them basically everything that I just told you. However, she did leave out the part that she was actually raped.
Yikes. Like oh, I hate that.
Yeah. She said that she was dragged, that they held a knife to her neck, blah, 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 blah. But she did not say anything about the rape. Hmm. And they noted that it was like the wounds on her neck were nothing severe enough to even require any like medical care.
Right.
One of her daughters told police that when they were leaving the house, she saw the light on underneath the basement door. The door was closed, but she could see the light on. And so she was convinced that her father was actually downstairs, like fighting the fire.
Wait, why was the light on in the basement if the power was cut?
I don't know. I don't know. Good question. But she saw a light. So I don't know if it was like on a different breaker or maybe. So maybe. I don't know.
Good
question, actually. Yeah. Why did I not pick up on that?
I mean, it's a big thing that there's no power here.
Right. Huh. Okay. Well, moving on. A neighbor comes forward right away, like the day after the murder, and she says that she saw this light-colored car just up the road from the Pruitt home, like sort of up on a hill that had a pretty good view of their mm-hmm. house. And she had never seen the car before. And, you know, like you have houses separated, like, you know, they're on 40 acres of land. You're going to notice cars that are coming in right. and out of the area.
Yeah. And everyone always has that neighbor. Too that well, like yeah. sees all the things and is like, don't be suspicious.
Right. You're coming down. Sorry, I have a pod dog here today. It's a friend's dog and it actually barks and not like mine. So okay, anyways. So this neighbor tells us there was this car sitting up at the hill, and at one point she noticed that they actually drove away and then turned around like in her driveway and
okay.
then back towards the Pruitt house again.
Yeah, suspicious.
Yeah. So anyway, as far as anyone knows and that I've read, this suspicious car lead was like never investigated at all.
Great.
Yeah. So it would be determined that Bill was shot once close to his ear. That likely did not kill him. Hmm. And so he was shot a second time in the back of the head, which was the fatal shot. Okay. So the Missouri Rural Crime Squad took over the investigation, which, by okay. the way, this is stated in a newspaper article. And I'm like, I need to look up what the Missouri Rural Crime yeah. Squad is. And there's like no – like you look that up and it doesn't even like actually seem like it's a thing. So it must have been just like what they did locally. So the way it was described in the paper was 26 officers from 14 area police departments took over because
– they made their own task force essentially.
Yeah. It's probably like this okay. town's so small, we need to combine resources. So let's all pitch in and help. So within 4 days, they have a suspect.
Okay.
And their suspect is Patty.
I was gonna say it.
You were.
Yeah, because she didn't tell him about the rape.
Okay. Well, I will get to that a little bit later, but yes, that is definitely something. Well, but they don't know that she didn't tell him about the rape, I guess. So like,
well, true,
they're basing it on.
But that's what I was going to say though.
Right. So here's the reasons why they have Patty as a suspect.
Okay.
They did not find any forced entry into the home.
Mm.
There was a door jamb that was broken and pieces of wood were like kind of found on the floor near it, but they determined that it was old damage. I don't know how you determine that.
Okay. But, that's a rookie mistake, by the way. Well,
yeah. But like in my head, I'm thinking like, well, if there was like a piece of the wood on the floor, don't you think at some point Patty and Bill would have picked it up?
Well, true.
Mm-hmm. Like well, they cleaned their house, I'm assuming. But
right.
Anyway. So they also said because Patty's wounds were superficial, that was another reason. Like, well, she didn't get as injured. Why did she only have like slight cuts on her neck and Bill was shot in the head?
Okay. Also, I'm just going to point out if I'm a policeman and I'm thinking the situation is somebody comes in, shoots the husband and then superficially wounds the wife and then lets her go because she doesn't tell them about the rape, then what's the motive here?
Yeah.
Because knowing about the rape, it's like, well, rape was the motive.
Well,
so they
okay.
had to shoot the husband so they could rape the wife, but they don't know about the rape. So okay.
So I will say that it's brought up a couple times, but I don't really know the validity of it, that Bill was like close to finding out about this like drug ring in town.
Oh, goodness.
But it's literally mentioned in maybe like one or two sources, like okay. kind of like just like thrown in there. And so I was just like, well, is that true? But mm-hmm. that was like somebody gave that as a reason.
Okay. To, of why like, someone would want him dead.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So also, like I said, she hadn't informed of the rape. And she would say that she, like now talking about it, she says she didn't tell the police because in that moment, her concern was for Bill. And she was just mm-hmm. like, I don't need them to like worry about me. I need to like figure out what's happening with Bill. And so she was just like, they dragged me out, whatever, yada, yada. Okay.
Okay.
There's a different reason that actually comes out later, but I can't get into it right now.
Okay. Okay.
So I think there was like I can't remember exactly, but there was a reason why they couldn't figure out what kind of caliber gun was used, but the Pruitts had a .22 caliber rifle that was missing from their hall closet.
Okay.
The ammunition for this gun was in her jewelry box and also in a dresser drawer. And so the police were like, there's a low probability that someone would randomly find this gun in the closet and also find the ammunition in the places that they were.
Yeah, so, jewelry box? Like, who keeps ammo in their jewelry box?
Right.
Besides Patty.
Well, yeah, exactly. So that's why they're like, okay, this is a little suspicious. So they administer a polygraph test 2 days after, but the results are never disclosed. So I have no idea what came of that. Hmm. Within a couple of days after that, they used a large magnet and got the rifle out of the pond that was on the Pruitt land just behind the house.
Oh, well, that's weird.
Yeah. And then they drained the water down and found boot prints near the bank and like close to where the gun was also found in the water. And days later, they matched those boot prints with a pair of Patty's boots that were on the front porch.
I see.
Okay. Police say that when they searched the home, if Patty had been dragged by her hair the way she said she was, then there would be hair on the floor of the bedroom, like possibly even clumps of it. And they mm-hmm. said that they didn't find any. Also, there was a mention of an insurance policy that had been recently renewed, and she would stand to get over like $100,000 or just under $100,000 in that.
Okay.
So on February 22nd, just 4 days after the murder, Patty was arrested for Bill's murder. Her parents and Bill's parents refused to believe that Patty could do such an awful act. Friends didn't believe it. Kids mm-hmm. didn't believe it. They're like, there's no way. They had like the perfect marriage. Things were going fine. Like, yeah, they had some debt and they were like struggling, but like things were going fine. So after she made bond, Patty returned to work at the lumberyard like a week later. She's at the lumberyard working and keeping it from going out of business. And like, I don't even know how she's doing that when she has all these major charges like looming over her.
Yeah.
Patty went to trial on April 16th, 1985, and just before it started, she was offered a plea deal that would have her released from prison within 5 to 7 years. However, she rejected it because she was claiming she was innocent. She was pleading not guilty. She said she was not she was innocent. She did not murder Bill, and she didn't want to be taken away from her children for any amount of time, no less like 5 to 7 years.
Right.
So she's like, I'm going to trial because I'm going to be found.
Doubled down. Got it. Yes. Okay.
Patty's friends testified on her behalf, and so did some of the her children.
Really?
Yeah.
They pulled the kids into it? I do not love that.
Well, I think because of the light in the basement thing and like
– Oh, well, yeah.
So, and so the daughter testified about the light in the basement, and it was mentioned how police never even went down there to see if somebody was hiding down there.
Mm, and had a flashlight or something?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
There we go. See, now we're making progress here on why there's a light.
Okay.
Also, her pajamas had no mud on them at all.
Okay.
If it was raining as badly as they said it is that day, how could she have gone out to the pond, waited in this pond to get rid of the gun, walk back to the house without any mud on her pajamas at all? Police said they found the boots with mud all over it, like outside on the porch. However, testimony from one of the friends would kind of poke some holes in that, because one friend went over to the house the day after the murder to pick up clothes and things for the kids and for Patty. And they actually grabbed those exact boots from the, like, wondering, oh, I might grab these for Patty to wear. But when she picked them up, they were kind of like damp on the inside. And she was like, only damp, like, because they were out on the porch and it had been raining. And so they got damp. Not completely drenched because she had been wading in a pond the night before and all that kind of stuff. They're like, they would have been, and hardly any mud on them. So she was like, there would have been a lot more mud had she been doing what they said.
Okay.
They also said the boots were 8 inches high and the pond was 11 inches. So the inside should have been just soaked and also muddy as well. Her daughter testifies also to this point that she had borrowed the boots about a week or so ago. And they were playing, her and her brother were playing by the pond and on the ice, and her foot went through, and it's likely that's why there were prints on the bank of those boots, because she had just been using them by there.
Okay.
A friend, another friend, also went to the house about a week after the murder to clean up so that the family could go back and get back into the house. And she used this wet dry vac to clean up the blood in the bedroom. And when she emptied it out, she said there was a lot of Patty's hair in that wet dry vac.
Oh. So
she's saying the police didn't even like look for the hair then that they said should have been on the floor.
Yeah. And all fairness, my vacuum has a lot of hair in it because of me and my daughter. It's just like we shed and it's everywhere.
Right. And I was going to mention that because like clearly she's wet drying like a big area. So her hair could have just been, but the way it was mentioned, it was like in a huge amount. And she was like, I don't really think there should have been that much in there, but whatever.
Okay.
I mean, they're trying to like defend her and be like,
yeah,
this is what. Okay. So she also at that point found a second shell casing. Cause remember he was shot twice and they only found the one.
And she only heard the one bang, which I found interesting too. She never mentioned another bang.
You know, there's a chance she may have.
Okay.
Gotcha. There is a chance she may have. Yeah, I think she did.
Okay.
So, but this friend finds another shell casing. It's like, well, how, if the police were really scouring that room, why didn't they find the second shell casing?
Yeah. They found one. They can't find an actual shell casing. They're not going to find hair.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So they're not doing a thorough search, in my opinion. So they also, these friends also went to the basement and they saw man-sized footprints in the dirt floor that was like leading from like a little room that had a window to the stairs as if somebody had like, that's how they had gotten in. They took pictures of these prints and then presented them to police, and police were like, nope, they weren't there when we were there. Those are police footprints. But it stated that nobody ever went in the basement to search for somebody. Like, to see if anybody was in there. So why would the police footprints be in there, too?
Yeah.
And why would it be only one? Does one only go down there?
I don't know. Right. I don't know. I'm just kind of – it's I'm skeptical.
And only from the stairs to the window and nowhere else?
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so another weird thing that came up is that their three dogs had gone missing a couple hours just before the murder. And they would eventually be found dead on a nearby farm.
No. Dead of what?
Yes. Well, it's never, like, I think officially confirmed, but it's said that they thought they were poisoned. So I feel like somebody could have done that to the dogs beforehand so that they could enter the house undetected. Yeah.
That is really suspicious.
Patty wouldn't have to kill the dogs. The dogs wouldn't bark at her. Like,
right. You know,
dogs only bark at things that are outside, right?
Like our pod pup today.
Yes. So anyway, so it could have possibly happened while Bill, like Patty and Bill were out that night and this person was just like waiting in the basement for them to get home. But who knows? This is all speculation.
Okay.
Okay. So they had a forensics expert testify at the trial that the first shot had not killed Bill and the second shot did, but both shots would have had to have been taken while like leaning over Patty while she slept. So they were like, how does, you know, that happen over you and you don't know that it's a gun, you think it's, you know, thunder or whatever.
Okay.
That was his point. However, this expert apparently had testified at other trials and had been discredited several times because apparently he just kind of says things to make the narrative fit with the prosecution.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not an expert then.
Yeah, so we take what he says with a grain of salt.
But that's a good question, though.
It is a good question.
Like, it's a good point.
Yes. Yeah. If that's the direction it came from.
Maybe they were having some drinks when they were out at the bar and didn't come home till 2 a.m. and she just like legit fell in a deep sleep. And
oh, I would imagine. That's
also really possible too.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what did happen. They had drinks and came home so late. So I mean, I could probably sleep through some things. And if the thunder's that loud, totally thinking that was thunder.
Right. Or just being confused in general, I think. And like being like, wait, what's going on? For like half a second.
Yeah.
And that's as much time as it takes. That's fair.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you hear a sound and you think it's something that it was actually in your dream. And you're like, was that real or was it not real kind of thing. And then like 30 seconds later, you're being dragged out by your hair. And you're like, well, what was that? Like, what was it?
Right. Right.
Okay. So during the prosecution or during the trial, prosecution also made Patty out to be like this awful person with no morals too. They brought in several men that had claimed to have had affairs with her.
Ruh-roh.
A couple of these men even said that she had offered them money to kill Bill at some point.
Okay.
So Patty does admit to these affairs.
Wow. But she was
like, that was 5 years prior to the murder. During a time we were separated, she was like, Bill also had affairs at some point. And so here's the part of the story that she and Bill had been keeping a secret from everyone.
All right.
10 years earlier. In 1974, so when they, like, because they got married in 68, so prior to them buying the lumber yard, Bill and Patty had gone to this small town called Sedalia to run some errands, and the two had, like, separated. So Patty went to do some things, Bill went to go do some things. While Patty was walking down the street, three men approached her and dragged her into some bushes and gang raped her.
Yikes.
So when she met back up with Bill, they made the decision together not to report it, and they were just going to handle this on their own.
Oh, my gosh. The
70s. So
terrible.
I don't know how often that occurred, but I'd imagine probably more often than it does now. So they never told anyone about it. Like, none of their close friends knew that this had happened. So, however, even though they were trying to handle it on their own, Bill struggled with it and over time kind of grew distant and had trouble with intimacy with Patty. So Patty started to feel very alone, and in 1976, that's when she had her first affair. So, okay. I mean, this broke them for a good amount of time, which I can totally see. It didn't last long, maybe a couple of months, but she became pregnant, and she
ended the
relationship, and Bill said that they made the decision together that Bill was going to raise the child as his own. So that was their youngest.
This is a lot of secrets.
Yeah, lots. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't know how much. I'm assuming now the kids know, but I don't know like how clearly nobody knows that she's having an affair because everyone said like they were so great. Like,
right.
We don't have any indication of any of this. So, okay. So this was also around the time, like just before, because when they bought the lumber yard, it was like 76. I think she was still pregnant with him when they bought it, and then she had the baby. Mm-hmm. So they were like, okay, we're going to do this new thing. Maybe this will help our marriage.
Yep, fresh start.
Yeah, so they moved. So this baby's father was one of the men that she said offered him money, that she offered him money to kill Bill. But right before the trial started, he came to Patty and was like, I'm going to leave my wife and we should get married so that I can't even testify against you. And like started claiming he was in love with her all this time and wanted to be with her. And she was like, no, get out of my face. I want nothing to do with you. That's nuts. So he's just a little sketch to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that he knows he's the dad. At least at this point he does. Mm-hmm. Of the youngest. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe he's pissed at her for all these years for like, maybe she didn't tell him at first. And
right.
I don't know. But anyways, he's one of the guys that's saying she said, can you kill my husband? Patty does say that she does not remember ever. She definitely never like offered anybody money to kill Bill. She's like, okay. If I ever said anything, it would have been like, gosh, things would just be better if Bill wasn't around. But she was like, it wouldn't have been anything that I was actually like serious about. Like, she's like, how many wives get mad at their husbands and say something stupid like that? She's like, I would never actually ask anybody to try and kill Bill. Okay. That's just what Patty says. All right. So after this, for about another year, Patty did have several other affairs, and she said so did Bill, but she didn't really start talking about that, like, and saying Bill had affairs until many years later, because she said she never wanted to tarnish Bill's memory to her mm-hmm. kids. But then she started talking out about all this stuff. They were at the lowest point in their marriage, and one day they had a huge blow-up argument, like dishes being thrown, like huge fight. Mm-hmm. And that was when at that point they were like, this is it. Like, we need to change. We want our marriage to work. We need to like end all the affairs and like actually work on it. And so they decided to do that. And that's what they did, according to Patty. And that's why everyone where they lived in like Holden thought everything was great between them, because they were really trying to work on their marriage. Mm-hmm. And that was 4 years before the murder. So why is she now that they're actually doing better going to want to murder him?
Okay.
Now they're saying it's for insurance money, but she was like, it was like $90-something. And what we owed was like double that. So what was that going to like help me? Anyway, so she also admitted at that point that she did not tell police about the rape, because she said that she thought that if she's admitted to it, Bill would then back away again. And what happened the first time she got raped would happen again. She said, I know that he was dead, but she's like, I was in shock at the time.
Okay.
So after a 4-day trial, Patty was found guilty of first degree murder and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for 50 years. She will be eligible for parole in 2036, and she will be 86 years old. For years, she has maintained her innocence. She's now served close to 39 years in prison and is almost 75. Her children have grown, have had their own children, and grandchildren have had children too. And they've all only known Patty behind bars.
Okay.
They've fought for her for years to get out. The Midwest
innocence. So they think she's innocent?
100%. Her children are behind her 100%. They don't think she had anything to do with killing their father.
Okay.
The Midwest Innocence Project got involved at one point to try and get her sentences vacated. They also fought to get evidence tested, because for years it was thought that the pajamas and the phone cord and the knives that they had collected were like lost or damaged in a flood. But then all of a sudden it was found out that they were still somewhere in a box. And they're like, well, let's test this for DNA. Like, test her pajamas. She said she was raped. Like, let's test it. And the appeals for the DNA testing to be done was denied in 2018, and that decision was upheld in 2019. And it was stated that even if they found someone else's DNA on her pajamas, it would just prove that someone else was there, not that she didn't play a part in the murder.
No, I disagree with that completely. That's silly.
I do too. Years later, when I think it was William, well, one of her sons was 18. He was arrested for a DUI. During his interview, he told police that – and the police officer that arrested him was one of the investigators on the murder mm-hmm. investigation. He said, I have information and I know who killed Dad, and it was not my mom.
Okay.
Well, he's arrested for DUI, so this officer's like, okay, go home.
You're drunk.
Sober up. Come back and talk to me tomorrow or whatever. Well, later that day, he was found dead at his friend's house that he was staying with from a self-inflicted gunshot.
No.
So it was speculated that he saw something that night and he had been living with it all this time and the guilt because his mom was in jail for it and whatever, but nobody will ever know because he's gone.
Okay.
Her children have been fighting to get her out for years. Everyone has basically given up now on proving her innocence, and they've just been focusing on getting her out early and getting her clemency. Several years ago, they thought they were going to get it with one of the governors, but then he was tragically killed in a plane crash. Like, he had indicated that he was going to give it to her, but, and he was gone. The next governor did not grant it, and now they are on to the current governor, Governor Parsons. And they just want her to have some time with her family outside of jail after all of these years to, like, live out her days. She's the longest serving inmate in a women's prison in Missouri.
Wow.
She's been the model inmate and did so many things to help bring policy changes and programs to prisons. And she's even mentored other prisoners. She helped develop a parenting program for incarcerated women. It's called PATCH. It stands for, like, parents and their children. Mm-hmm. It's a nonprofit organization that provides support for children of moms in prison to help strengthen their ties with their moms so that they don't lose that connection with them.
Okay.
It provides parenting classes for the women in prison, provides visitation plans for the children, support groups for the prisoners, and they offer transportation for those children if they don't have any way to get to visit their mom.
All right.
Patty also started a program called Storytime, where prisoners can record themselves reading storybooks, and then they're mailed to the children so they can hear their mom reading stories. There have been multiple films done / shows that I've not been able to access.
Okay.
At all. There's a Dr. Phil episode that her daughter, Jane, was on. You only really hear from Jane. So I think I'm just, like, assuming that everyone else is in, like in support of mom based on what they're saying. But you only really ever see Jane in any of these things. And they were on this Dr. Phil show. So Jane was there and they were, like, had her on the phone, Patty on the phone from prison.
Oh.
And I've seen, like, clips of this on YouTube, but not an entire episode. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see, like, little, like, 3-minute things or whatever. Supporters of Patty say she was only convicted because they slut-shamed her in the trial because of her affairs. Mm-hmm. And if we are to believe what she says, I don't actually think she committed this murder.
You don't?
No. I don't. I don't think she did. I don't think she had a reason to.
Hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I think they had a lot of years of instability and a lot of secrets. And
we took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
I think that's suspicious. I think that makes smoke.
Hmm.
And so, where there's smoke, there's fire. I think somebody was in the basement. I will say that.
Yeah.
I think that's... I'm 100% sold that there was somebody in that basement, a man in the basement. So whether it was the person who actually killed her or whether she had help, I don't know.
Interesting.
I think if my husband got shot 2 times in bed beside me, I would wake up and not think it was thunder. I have heard a lot of gunshots very close to, like, where I'm standing or whatever, and they are very loud.
Right.
And you put that in a small room in a house, like, that's like a blow your eardrum out kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's suspicious. I don't know. I don't know.
I really wish I was able to see some of the like films that were done. One was called 33 and Counting, and it was like there's this website, and it was like I needed a password to access it.
Okay.
And then
interesting.
The another one was, oh gosh, I can't even remember the name of the show, but it's, you know, like one of those other, not Snapped, but like it was definitely an Oxygen show. Mm-hmm. And people like dive into cases.
Deadly in her case, Women or something like that.
It wasn't, but it was one I had never heard of.
Okay.
So I don't think they lasted long, whatever they did. And they're just not available anymore. You cannot find them anywhere. And then this Dr. Phil one, I can't find either, except for like bits and pieces of it. And so I have seen like videos with her randomly. And I don't know. I don't know if that's why. Or, and also like hearing her daughter in total support and not believing it, if that's why I'm like led down the, like, I believe that she didn't do it path, as opposed to like you just listening to everything that I just said.
Right. Right.
But I really don't believe she did it.
Yeah.
And I really can't explain it, except that it's like she doesn't look like the kind of person that could do something like that. She's like, yeah, I had affairs. So did Bill. Doesn't mean I'm going to kill him. Like,
no, but I mean, yeah, agreed. But she also has a really pretty significant pattern of lying about really big things, like the father of her child and being gang raped. But not to
Bill.
And allegedly.
Who is it? Well, yeah, allegedly, I guess.
Like, we don't know what Bill knew or didn't.
That is true. You are correct. That's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I trust her, honestly. I think, you know, my there are no coincidences in murder. That's what I always say. And I just feel like there's a pattern of lying about huge things. She was the only person there.
Yeah, but she's in it's in a time where everyone lied about that stuff. Nobody wanted to admit that their marriage was going down.
The generation of secrets.
Yeah.
That's what I always call that whole like generation from 70s, 80s.
You don't want to admit that you were raped. You don't want to admit that your marriage is suffering, that you're having affairs, he's having you don't want to tell that. I mean, I don't want to tell that to people now if that was happening, but like you really didn't want to say that back then.
Right. Right. No, you're right. I don't know. I'm on the fence about it. I really am. I think there was a terrible investigation. I will definitely agree with that. And I don't know that they proved it without a reasonable doubt or like beyond a reasonable doubt. I can't say that that's honestly true, but I don't know. I'm not 100% that she is innocent in all capacities. Like maybe she didn't pull the trigger.
I mean, they offered her 5 to 7 years before. They knew they didn't have enough, or they thought they didn't have enough to convict her. So then they made her sound like an awful person.
Right? Right. That's true. Okay.
I don't know. It's funny that we're like really very different on this right now.
Well, I'm not saying she definitely did it. I'm just saying I don't believe she is 100% innocent either.
There's more to this story.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Good case. Okay. I mean, sad, awful, poor Bill. Poor kids. Gosh, they lost everything.
Yeah.
In one night. I think that's always their – it's always the children that are like the true victims of a situation like this. But
– yeah. And actually, I don't even know like what happened to the kids after that. Like who took – who raised them when she was convicted. I don't know. I mean, clearly they're – one tragically died. But they've all – gone on to lead pretty productive lives. So
yeah, wow, what a sad case.
I know.
It is a shame about that Dr. Phil. I do like a Dr. Phil.
I don't, but it was like the only reason I watched any of those clips is because I was like, it's the only thing I have. It's the only thing I can see.
Right. He just cracks me up because he's like so Southern and kind of like a bumbling like dummy.
Well, yeah, that's
and
also just why I don't like him.
Cracks me up though. That's the only reason why I like him. He's entertainment.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so anyway. Well,
that's a good case. Thank you for diving in. It is interesting that we are not eye to eye because I feel like if that's how you thought about it the whole entire way, then most of the time you'll kind of skew it in that way, which you didn't, to the point that I that's not where my head is. So you did a good job of like just telling them. It's hard to do that. It really is. If you feel a certain way about something, it's hard to not like tell the case to not convince the person.
Right.
Like,
right.
But don't you think that I'm right about this?
You know? Right.
So you did a good job. And I don't know. I wonder if she'll get out.
I kind of wish that for her. Like, I don't think she's a danger to society now.
No, not at all. I do feel like she should just be granted clemency just to live out her life at home. Like, she's done nothing in prison. Nothing.
Right.
Well, there's actually
a good.
Well, yes. And there's actually a whole story on how, like, she actually – it was, like, traumatized in prison. I didn't even add any of that into it because I was like, that's kind of, like, irrelevant to the story, the murder story. But, like, there's this whole, like, huge story on, like, expose on, like, stuff that happened to her in prison when she first got there and whatever.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Okay. Well, rest in peace, Bill. And we'll have to follow up on old Patty.
Yeah, there is one of the sources that I'll link is pattypruitt.com that her daughter, one of her daughters set up. And there is like links to like write the governor. So if you're on the side I'm on, for sure, you can try and like convince the governor to give her clemency.
Well, I'm not opposed to that. Like I don't know if I'm going to write the governor, if I'm not going to lie, but.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Interesting case. Well, we're done. We're done with April.
Mm-hmm.
We're into May, which is Crime Con month.
Yep.
If you're interested, it's at the end. We'll be there. Y'all should come. It's Nashville. It's our favorite. Mm-hmm. It's going to be wild. But we'd love to see all of you guys there. We appreciate you so much. We have a Patreon. If you like what you hear, you can always join us over there. It's always growing, and we just love that. It's a super fun corner of our closet that we kind of save for. Secrets. Not really, but you definitely get to know us a little better over there because we certainly talk more about personal things. But it's two episodes a month. One's a fun one where you'll get to know us a little better and some chit chat, and then a crime, bonus crime every single month. $3. Come find us on social media and let us know what you think of this case. We know you will. You guys are the best for that. And always remember, the world is scary. People suck. Hide in your closet.